Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Steve is with us, as he is most days, from 11:05 to 11:30 Central Time. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
I was just looking over this list of crusades that Billy Graham had during his career.
I think it's 18 pages. They listed every single crusade, and over 58 years, they say that he preached 417 crusades, 185 countries, 84 million people in person, and 215 million over the air or satellite
feeds. Television?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean, well, I'm sitting here looking. I found the crusade where my dad attended.
Yeah.
In Memphis.
I found the one that I attended.
In the year 1951, my dad went to the Memphis Crusade, Billy Graham. Which one did you go to? Did you find it?
Yeah, it was...
Where did you get this list of Billy Graham Crusades?
This is on the CitizenTimes.com. I wanted to find the one that I went to, and I couldn't remember what year it was. It was 1997, and it was in San Jose, California.
It's on here, isn't it?
Yep, you found it. He spoke at the Shark Tank.
Which is the major coliseum there?
It's the where the San Jose Sharks play. It's a major stadium in San Jose. And then I was talking with Jody Brown, who's the editor of OneNewsNow.com. His daughter came to Christ at the Oakland Crusade in that same year.
1997?
He was old.
You can also see as the years go on, he's doing less and less.
Well, he had Parkinson's disease, and in 1997, when I saw him, it was a struggle for him to get from his seat to the podium. But he, you know, and this is my Billy. Can I tell my Billy Graham story?
It's not long.
It's not that impressive either. But so I went to this. It's 97. I knew that he was reaching the end of his public ministry, and so I wanted to make sure I saw him once at least before I died, because I hadn't been to another of his crusades. And so I went in 1997, and I remember sitting there, and he was old and infirm, and the message struck me as very simple. He just kind of took one thing from the headlines, and then he preached a straightforward, you need Christ in your life, this is how you accept Jesus. I thought he was off. I thought maybe he's just sick and he's not feeling well. It just didn't strike me as what I expected from Billy Graham, you know, which was what I expected, a powerful message that would rouse me to my core. And so they gave the invitation, and hundreds of people started coming forward. I thought, well, you know, I know that they get counselors to come down, and maybe these are mostly counselors that are going to come down. So I sat there, and I must have sat there for 45 minutes. The auditorium cleared, and 45 minutes after the message, there were still hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of counselors and people that came forward talking and praying and accepting Christ. It's the real deal. It was the real deal, and it just didn't strike me as the kind of flowery speech I expected from such a great preacher. You know, there was no thunder and lightning or brimstone called down from heaven. He just told people that Jesus loved them, and they needed to accept Christ. And it was a good reminder to me that you don't have to have all the talent or the eloquence or whatever that God can use.
And that it's a work of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Not a work of people with great speaking
not
prowess.
Not to say he wasn't a good preacher.
No, he wasn't, and that's true.
He
was.
They could do classes but there's on
lots
how
of
preach,
but there's lots of wonderful preachers
right.
who don't preach and have that kind of response, is what I'm saying.
Right.
There was something about Billy Graham that God decided to choose and use.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
What's going on in Florida with the aftermath of the school shootings last week?
Well,
we're seeing a lot of rallies and things of that nature.
Yeah, so this is what's the debate. I'll give you the debate, and you can weigh in on it on whatever side you want, but the school, obviously, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School is not in session. They're going to tear that building down, and they're going to reorganize a school and bring kids back slowly because there's a lot of trauma on that campus. So the kids have some time off, and they are being organized or organizing themselves for some political action, and they are at the Florida Capitol. They were bused there. And they
you
are.
You mean students from the school?
Students from the school.
From other schools as well.
Well, I think there are other schools that are joining them.
Okay, they went
mostly
to the state.
Tallahassee.
They went to Tallahassee to the Florida State Capitol for what purpose?
They wanted to confront lawmakers to say that they're not doing enough on gun control to keep them safe. So they have a point in maybe not the gun control thing. I'll let you guys decide that. But. There are people that are saying that adults are manipulating. It's not fair to show 16, 15, 14-year-old kids and let them and their passions drive a national policy debate. There are other people who are saying these kids, more than anyone else, have the right to speak into this thing because they're victims of it. So that's what's happening in
what?
Florida. Victims of a shooting. So... And this is the other point. The other point of view is that because they were traumatized deeply by and lost good friends and have some friends that are still recovering and may never fully recover, that they
have something
to say.
What are they, Walker? Do you know what these kids are asking for?
No, I need to watch their press conference, which I'm going to do this afternoon, and I need to look up maybe some gun control groups. What they're proposing, some official proposals when it comes to legislation. I need to study what from my perspective, I'm not getting a clear message on what needs to be done regarding gun control.
So from these kids, you mean?
From the kids and from groups that are calling for this in the media, I'm getting one person will say we need an age requirement. One person will say we need to ban high capacity magazines. One person will say we need to do away with quote, assault rifle, semi-automatic rifle. So there's all kind of proposals. Everybody's on a different page. I don't know what they want. Well, I don't know what these students want specifically.
Well, they went to Tallahassee yesterday to the state capital of Florida wanting something that was voted down. And I don't know what it was exactly.
There were several measures. I read this yesterday, Tim, and I'm gonna give me a second to look it up. But
well, let me just go while you're looking that up. Let me just say this, too. Part of the complexity of this issue is that all 50 states have their own laws regarding guns and gun sales. And then on top of that, you have federal law. So when people say, well, we need to do this, well, it depends. Maybe your state already does it. And are you asking that the federal government does it? So I like Walker said, I'm not sure that we have anything right now except for the emotional response of kids who have suffered through a terrible ordeal and their parents and the community. I'm not sure that you're going to have anything. What?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You're going
to
have anything other than
I see that
a lot of gun control debate that's been going on for decades.
Yeah.
Talking past each other while this is going on.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know. This young man who is now in prison or awaiting it, he's going to confess to this if they don't give him the death penalty. What?
17 charges.
What's his name?
Nicholas Cruz.
Nicholas Cruz. This young man, I want these gun control advocates to prove to me that had their gun control ideas been in place, Nicholas Cruz would have been unable to obtain guns, and therefore this would have not happened. Now, and I'm talking short of scrapping the Second Amendment and saying no guns in America, period.
Which even that might not guarantee that he couldn't.
Right.
Well, if you scrap the Second Amendment, no guns in America, period, you know who's going to have guns? The drug cartels. The mafia, the gangs, they're all going to have guns, and American citizens are not. Now, again, I would say this, that ship has sailed. Americans have millions of guns, and you're not ever going to confiscate them all. And if you told Americans you got to give them up, they wouldn't give them up anyway. I'm just telling you. That's just a reality. So I want to see what these people who are advocating these gun control ideas, like these kids and these adults who I think are using these kids now, what they you see what I'm saying?
Right.
How could gun control could have prevented what happened?
Right.
So what's going on in Florida? The Florida State House on Tuesday decided not to vote on a ban of many semi-automatic guns and a large capacity magazines, and they may have had an age requirement in there as well. I will tell you that the president, President Trump, is having a listening session today with sides of this. He has signaled He signaled a willingness to look at bump stocks and look at the age requirements and background checks. He's willing to do to start a negotiation on this.
I said bad idea. Excuse me for interrupting.
No, that's fine.
Steve. When you're going to have a listening session with crying kids pleading with you to have gun control and ban certain guns, and you're going to be on TV telling them no, that's a no-win deal there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So you should not do a listening session for the reasons I just mentioned. Now, that may turn out, to be okay for him.
And I think Donald Trump actually has a tender heart.
Yeah.
When it comes to human suffering, that's what I've seen.
Agreed.
He's probably going to be swayed by listening to these kids.
What's he going to be for, Walker? Because he's been a champion of the Second Amendment and so forth.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know he's signaled openness to doing away or making a bump stock illegal.
You don't have a problem with that yourself.
Explain that.
Yeah, a bump stock, from what I understand, is an accessory that you add to a gun, an existing gun that you purchase, and that accessory, called a bump stock, uses the inertia from the firing of the weapon to essentially cause your finger to tap the trigger at a much faster rate than would typically be done without the bump stock.
Because a semi-automatic is one pull of the trigger, one round goes out.
Correct.
Automatic means you hold the trigger and your entire magazine is emptied.
Correct.
So that's the technical. I'm not a gunman.
Yes.
You know, but that's my understanding of the difference between
yes.
automatic and semi-automatic. Automatic weapons are illegal. Is that right?
In most cases.
In most cases.
I think it requires, it's very highly regulated. Maybe certain arms dealers can own an automatic weapon, but your general citizen, your average citizen, does not have easy access to a machine gun.
So an AR-15, okay, and people think AR stands for assault rifle. It doesn't. It stands for the company.
Right.
Armalite, I think, is the name of it. That's what AR means. Mm-hmm. People always point to that, and they say, there, that's an assault rifle. It's an automatic weapon. No. In most cases, it is semi-automatic, meaning it's no different than a 30-30 or some deer rifle.
Right.
That's one pull of the trigger, one round.
That's
Am
right.
I right?
That's
that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, they look sporty and they look, quote, dangerous because they are used. AR-15s, that's a 223 caliber, are 15.56, which is a NATO round. Those are used.
NATO's involved in this deal?
No, it's what NATO uses in war. It's a standard round.
Okay.
But those are used. These guns are used overseas to fight in wars.
But those are automatic.
Some are automatic that the military has.
Yeah.
Which that's the difference. But I think this is what I'm going to do on my show this weekend, and this is a shameless plug for my show.
Now go ahead and tell us about your show, when it's on, everything.
Yeah.
Like
and don't
that.
Be ashamed.
No,
this weekend.
No, we want people.
Plug away.
Thanks
we got
for
11
permission.
Minutes. I mean, can you get through in 11 minutes?
I think we're going to need to roll over into the second hour.
Okay. All right, well.
Alistair Begg.
This weekend at 2:30 Central on Saturday on American Family Radio, I'm going to go through maybe the last 6 or 8 mass shootings in America over the last few years, and I'm going to go through the process that each murderer or convicted murderer, how he accessed his weapons, what kind of weapons he had, were they legal weapons, and then I'm going to compare that to hot popular gun control proposals.
That's a great idea.
Presented by these students,
He's my son, Ed.
Hey, listen, I want you to. I want us to talk about that.
Yeah.
on today's issues next week.
And I think what we need to come to and understand is whether these, like Dad mentioned earlier, whether these measures, even the most extreme of measures that probably are illegal according to the Second Amendment, will those measures stop mass shootings?
Right.
That'll be an interesting question that needs to be answered.
You're listening to, is you through with your Seamus plug?
Yes.
Well, great job in getting it under a minute. So Saturday.
That sounds very interesting.
Saturday, like in
3 days from now.
3 days from now, whenever that is, at 2 o'clock Central Time.
2:30.
2:30 Central Time, Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman. We'll deal with that very topic.
Yes, because the discussion is going on in Washington right now.
Yeah. I would just add one observation about this, one further observation about this gun control climate that's coming up now as a result of what happened last week. Seemingly, it's gaining in popularity because do you see where the Dallas, was it the Dallas police chief? Or the Dallas mayor told the NRA, go take your...
Yeah, it's the mayor.
Go take your convention somewhere else that they're supposed to have in Dallas in a couple. So they're blaming.
He suggested it. He didn't order them out. It was a little gentler than that, but the point was there.
Yeah, but basically said go somewhere else.
You might want to find a different place.
Yeah. But what part of this is? This is more, I guess, psychological or human nature analysis than it is public policy. A lot of this is not wanting to look at evil as a reason for this happening. In other words, if you can blame the gun, it lessens the responsibility of the individual in the eyes of people. So instead of having rallies in front of the prison where this killer is being held, saying, how could you do this to our classmates?
Right.
You have rallies about the gun.
Well, that's a good point.
As if the gun walks down to the school and shoots people in and of itself. So I think part of this is maybe I'm overthinking this, but I think part of this is part of the secular progressive ideology. Let's don't talk about the heart of man being evil, and this is what happens as a result of that. Okay, let's talk about the gun, and that way we don't have to talk about the spiritual implications of this. And it takes go. You see anything in that?
Well, no, I think that's absolutely right. And I would listen. I would say now there's probably people out there who defend the Second Amendment that could argue me out of this position because I don't know enough about this to defend the NRA or anything like that. But and we talked a little bit about this morning in our story meeting. At this point, I'm open to banning gun stocks. I'm not sure what the purpose of that is.
That's not banning a gun?
It's not banning a gun. It seems...
Accessory.
It's an accessory, and it seems to me all you're doing is preventing a semi-automatic from acting like an automatic rifle.
So even most Second Amendment people maybe could agree with you on that.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I'm just saying. This is my position.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to... banning or limiting, more heavily regulating, higher capacity magazines, okay? I don't have a problem with having some age restrictions, okay? But my problem is that I think the gun control movement is Marxist at its origin. It is opposed to the Second Amendment, period. And I would trust Democrats and these pro-gun control people a whole lot more if they would say, let us make this statement clear. The Second Amendment allows individuals to own weapons, and we want to make that clear. We would never advocate gun confiscation. If they would say that, then I'd be a lot more open to having a discussion. Just I have a couple of weapons, but I'm not a NRA person.
Right.
I'd be a lot more open to these kind of things if I was guaranteed these people weren't actually eyeballing the Second Amendment as their real reason for being.
Also, I don't want to prevent...
Well, I was just going to add one quick thing. That would be interesting to know is for maybe a news anchor or reporter to ask these students or the lobbyist, the gun control lobbyist, ask them point blank,
Do you support the Second Amendment?
Do you support the Second Amendment, or would you be opposed to an all-out ban on guns? Do you think that might be the end game?
That's a good point.
Because to me, it's like the Palestinians saying, we have problems with the Israeli peace proposals, and I want to say, do you think they have a right to exist first? Let's start there.
Yes.
If you say no, then I don't want to hear anything about the peace process because because you're being disingenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say this too. I guess in one respect, I'm going to sound a little facetious here, but there's a point to be made in this. If you feel strongly about gun control in this country, you need to put a sign in your yard. No guns in this home.
Gun-free zone.
Gun-free zone, no guns in this home. And you need to put that sign in your yard to advocate for your position if you feel passionately about this, because that will prove that you're willing to take the risk of somebody invading your home.
Which is what you're asking everyone else to take, that risk as well.
Bingo. Bingo, and I think that needs to be a part of this discussion. If you're going to advocate for gun control to the point of, like, as some of these people, like you're saying, it's Marxist. They don't want. I quite frankly, you know, if you criticize these students and they're on TV right now everywhere, then you're seen as being a person who's cold-hearted, and unsympathetic with them, Steve, with what they're talking. But I see a lot of these students, and they need to be asked questions.
Look at that! We're watching the Fox News feed. Here's the headline underneath the student speaking: school shooting survivor: gunman was able to purchase an assault rifle despite signs of mental illness. Those words, assault rifle, that's a meaningless term. Every gun can potentially be an assault rifle if you're going to assault somebody with
it. So can a knife.
What that means is, what a lot of people are seeing is, he means machine gun. The shooter had a machine gun. We need to ban it. Right. And he did not have a machine gun.
Well, he means, and there's a lot of conflation of the emotion, and there is a lot of emotion going around here. But I think Walker made this point earlier. You can dress a gun up to look dangerous.
Yeah.
But the mechanism is, it shoots a certain size bullet at a certain velocity, and you pull the trigger either once and you have to do something to reload it, like an action a bolt action, or you can squeeze the trigger multiple times, but one shot per trigger, or you can hold the trigger down and you can shoot the whole magazine out. And that's really the only difference in these guns. Whether or not it's black with the scope and an assault style, you know.
Military
is. Really,
this is saying, this Fox News, this student is on here speaking, and he's a student, he's a survivor, it says. And as Ed says, the headline below it says, gunman was able to purchase an assault rifle despite signs of mental illness. Well, signs of mental illness don't prevent you from buying a gun. You have to have certified mental illness that's signed by a psychologist.
Yes.
And that would go on your background check, true?
Right.
Okay, who do you fault for somebody having signs of mental illness? Because we all know people who are, we say, well, that person's crazy.
My neighbor's a grouch.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be able to have a gun.
Yeah, I'm glad this program is ending right now.
do you call down to the sheriff's office and say, I want to report a crazy man that lives next to me. You need to put him on your can't buy a gun list. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Right.
I mean, a lot of this stuff is unpractical
and
unconstitutional. But everybody's saying it with tears in their eyes, as if people were supposed to react with public policy based on sheer emotion.
Right.
And we need to watch out for that. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.